Haines resident wins an appeal against the borough in court, and Aging Southeast, seniors give back by volunteering. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. Late last week, a Superior Court judge ruled in favor of Haines' Paul Nelson, who appealed the decision by the Haines Borough regarding a 2014 nuisance abatement order. The case has dragged on, and now Nelson will be refunded a $600 fine he paid nearly 2 years ago. Superior Court Judge Philip Pallenberg sided with Nelson, stating that the Haines Borough violated its own code when it came to dishing out fines and deadlines. It all started back in 2002 when Nelson became concerned about an abundance of solid waste in the borough. He started Acme Transfer Company Incorporated and collected local refuse at a transfer station before relocating it out of Haines. He had a recycling program too, crushing aluminum cans and putting them in containers bound for Seattle. When it came to glass, he says he found a solution he thought would take care of the mound of bottles, jars, and the like.
And in communication with DEC, we found that DEC was okay with using glass as fill, and it did not require a landfill permit. And so we began taking clean glass at no charge and crushing the glass.
Nelson says the regulations from the Department of Environmental Conservation didn't specify the size the glass needed to be crushed to, so he smashed it all down using heavy equipment and didn't give it a second thought. In 2014, Nelson used the crushed glass as fill on a site he was building his house. His neighbors complained to the borough that he was using garbage. The borough ticketed him $300 and issued a nuisance abatement order because, Nelson says, they didn't think the glass was crushed small enough. He appealed to the assembly, but they told him the glass, with the exception of that which had been used as fill in the foundation, had to be removed. They gave him 10 days to comply from the June 10th hearing. According to court documents, on June 24th, 2014, the assembly adopted the resolution upholding the abatement order. It took Nelson 14 days to complete the task, so he was fined $300 a day, resulting in a total of $1,200. There are a couple of things wrong with the borough's actions. They continue to fine Nelson even though daily citations were not issued. The fine is $300 per incident, Nelson says, and only one notice of violation was issued. The other facet of the ruling that came into question stemmed from the deadline given by the borough. The clock should have started ticking when the assembly adopted the resolution to uphold the nuisance order, but instead it started before that, after the appeal hearing 2 weeks prior. In his decision, Judge Pallenberg wrote, quote, "I do not view this provision as permitting the assembly to require abatement by a time that has already passed when the resolution is adopted," end quote. During the time between when the fines were handed out and the spring of 2015, the building permit Nelson needed to continue building his house expired. The borough refused to renew it until he paid the $1,200, which he did under protest. In the spring of 2015, Nelson appealed to the assembly again, citing due process and equal protection violations. The assembly, after going around and around with a few failed motions, agreed to cut the $1,200 fine in half and return $600.
At no time did I get the feeling the assembly or the manager referred to the codes. Basically, I had to go to court to get them to comply with their own rules.
Nelson filed the appeal in court in August 2015. And with last week's Superior Court ruling, the other $600 will be returned to Nelson. The borough's lawyer did not file a brief in this case. Interim manager Brad Ryan said the borough had no comment. Now Nelson is going after the borough for court fees and lawyer costs, which he says total around $6,000.
You know, it was not the money. It was the fact that I refuse to have my rights violated. And I refuse to have them not comply with their own laws. I just can't live that way.
Nelson attends a lot of borough meetings, and he speaks out, mostly about individual and constitutional rights. And now he says he feels like he has a better foothold when declaring his or others in the community have had their rights violated. Go to any nonprofit meeting in Southeast Alaska, and you'll probably find at least one senior citizen board member. Others help out at fundraisers by baking cookies, sewing quilts, selling raffle tickets, or cleaning up after an event. As part of Coast Alaska and KHNS's Aging Southeast series, KRBD's Layla Carey talked to a few of the region's active senior volunteers about what they do for their communities and why.
Look what the Lord has done. Fred John gives through music. The native elder whose Tlingit Ann Simshian has been playing music most of his 87 years, and much of that time has been spent performing gospel and worship songs. He traveled extensively in his youth with a church group and still is happy to plug in a guitar and belt out a tune whenever he's asked. John has been honored with various awards that hang on the wall of his home on the outskirts of the village of Saxman, just a few minutes' drive from Ketchikan.
And this I got from the Salvation Army called Soldier of the Year.
Another plaque was handed to John by Senator Lisa Murkowski in 2010. It's a Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce Award recognizing his volunteer work at the local jail. He still volunteers there. Every week, he heads to the Ketchikan Correctional Center to play for inmates. How to provide services for older Alaskans is an ongoing discussion statewide and within individual communities. But like John, many of Alaska's elders give back to their hometowns through volunteer work. Ketchikan's Ed Zastro is another active senior. The 80-year-old frontman for the local AARP chapter advocates for retired residents. He helped coordinate and publish a directory of local senior services, and he was the lead organizer for Pioneer Heights, a senior housing project. Through his volunteer work as the AARP coordinator, Zastro has to fill out a form every year estimating the hours donated by older volunteers in Ketchikan.
And last year, we put in a little over 2,700 hours of volunteer work.
More than 1,400 seniors are registered for the Ketchikan Gateway Borough Senior Tax Exemption, and that gives a pretty good idea of how many live here. If Ketchikan's statistics follow the rest of the state, a third donate their time. Connor Bell is an economist with the State Department of Labor. He says about 30% of Alaskans 65 to 74 volunteer.
That's lower than the average rate, but those who do volunteer do so at much greater volume.
In Petersburg, Al and Sally Dwyer put in above average hours, playing music and promoting the town's Norwegian heritage. Al Dwyer, the former mayor of Petersburg, has been a volunteer DJ at KFSK for about a dozen years. The 74-year-old also plays piano and sings at the long-term care and assisted living facilities. Dwyer says his wife, Sally, 63, is the real volunteer of the family. So he put her on the phone.
Hello?
Sally Dwyer has been volunteering for the past year at almost the equivalent of a full-time job, working with another volunteer to restore the 104-year-old Sons of Norway building. A lot of Sally Dwyer's volunteer work is focused on maintaining and celebrating Petersburg's strong Norwegian roots, but she says she contributes to pretty much any event or group. She bakes, she sews, she quilts.
I did four last year, quilts for fundraisers. I'm working on one right now.
So why? Why do these seniors donate so much time and energy? Ed Zastro says it's a desire to give back to society.
There is hundreds and hundreds of hours put in by seniors, and I think the seniors that do that do it graciously because they want to, and like myself, I feel like I owe the community something.
Sally Dwyer says she hopes to make a difference.
Like with making the quilt for the jazz kids, maybe one of the kids will get inspired and end up being a composer or a musician that, you know, does it for his living. You just never know how your little tiny influence will help along the way.
And Fred John? Well, just listen.
And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace, how sweet that sound.
Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
The Dick Hotch Memorial Basketball Tournament kicks off today in Haines. This year, six men's teams are expected to play from Haines, Cluckwan, Juneau, and Whitehorse. Two women's teams from Haines and Juneau will face off in three games. The first is Friday at 6 p.m. in the Haines Elementary School gym. The men's games start tonight at 6 p.m. The Haines Merchants will play the Juneau team Good Ol' Boys first. At 7 p.m., the Chilkat Thunder faces the Whitehorse Players of Big Bigness. Then at 8 p.m., Whitehorse Generals compete against the Good Ol' Boys. The tournament continues Friday, with games starting at noon between the Chilkat Thunder and the Chilkat Warriors. At 1 p.m., the Warriors play Big Bigness. Haynes Merchants and Whitehorse Generals face off at 2 p.m. The games will continue through the weekend. The first place team wins $2,500. And organizer Stuart DeWitt says the player who's named most valuable will take home an ounce of gold nuggets. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.